Is thine eye evil because I am good? This is a correction that the good man of the house has to give to one who is grumbling in the pay line. If you caught the details of the parable, we are given a glimpse into the nature of the kingdom of heaven, and it is refreshing to hear these words spoken by our Lord Jesus, that we might come into the newness of life of those who are invited into the kingdom of heaven and who are now bringing love into the world. A very different calculation than the world understands, as it is based on different code. So we see the scenario in the parable that a good man who has a vineyard goes out and hires laborers into the vineyard. And as he goes out, he hires some at the beginning of the day, at the early time, then again at the third hour, the sixth, the ninth hour, and so forth. In our clock, it would be he's right there around 6 o'clock in the morning, and goes out again at 9, at 12, at 3, and then finally at 5 o'clock in the afternoon to hire the last ones in. And he agrees with those at the beginning that they will work for a penny a day, which doesn't sound like very big wages to us, but if you adjust for inflation, it'd be about $300. So if you think living wage and daily calculation, so they're going to get hired for $300 for the day's wage. And they agree with him. So they, you know, it's like they shake on the deal. They come into the vineyard and they work. And then at the end of the day, he says to his steward, now call all the laborers and have them come back and pay them their wage, beginning from the ones who went to the vineyard the last and then to the first. And so the ones who had worked but 1 hour, they receive the wage. They receive $300. And then the ones who had come first and who had borne the burden and the heat of the day that were the most sweaty and tired, they see that these men that worked an hour are getting $300. So what do you suppose they're thinking? They're going to get more. I mean, that'd be kind of a natural way to think, right? If you're thinking the hour, I don't know if they thought maybe they'll get 11 times more or something, but certainly more because they did the most of the work. Ah, but everybody who came into the vineyard gets the same wage, $300. And this sets the men to grumbling. And so they murmur against the good man of the house. And he challenges them by saying, I did thee no wrong. The ones who are grumbling, did you no wrong? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Now, what this points out to us is an illustration of one of the seven deadly sins. It illustrates the motive of the heart to have envy toward others because they have something good. The men that are grumbling, they suppose they should have had more. And now they're taking issue with the landowner. And this is a very natural way to think in our fallen world. We are very deeply enmeshed in a worldly systems that are based on calculations of fairness and not necessarily calculations of what is just. And so the eye that goes to see what others are getting and they have something good and it supposes it should have more and they begin to remonstrate with the landowner, that speaks of envy. Envy is a deadly sin. It is a root of evil that will bring a person into hatred, and hatred brings strife. And there's strife coming up in this place where there need be no strife because of envy. Now, the Bible is very clear about the deadly sin of envy, and we see its fruit. We see it in the first generation when Cain has envy toward his brother Abel, and instead of simply dealing with God himself and staying in his own lane, he wants to get involved in his brother's business and takes issue with God about the sacrifice that his brother has made. God warns him. He doesn't heed the warning. Hatred comes up in his heart that flourishes out into murder, and he kills his brother. So we know that it's a deadly sin in many ways. Deadly because it cuts off union with God with this rebellion, but also it issues out in death in some measure. And you'll see that with the deadly sins, if anybody embraces them, it always ends up in death. So that's the nature of envy. Where do we see it again? It's the brothers of Joseph who have envy for their little brother who's highly favored. They decide out of their hatred they're going to kill him. Then one of them intervenes. They decide, we'll sell him into slavery. And as a type of Christ, his He overcomes envy and is able to save his brothers from starvation in due time. But he suffers because of envy's sake. We also see the murderous hatred that comes up in the heart of Saul toward David when he has one of the greatest warriors in the history of Israel, David, warrior and then king. As Saul's chief warrior, he goes out and wins a mighty victory against the Philistines, comes back in the with a rejoicing, having won the victory, and the women of Jerusalem begin to sing out, Saul has slain his thousands, King Saul has slain thousands, but David his 10,000s. And how does that sit with King Saul? Not very well. He begins to eye David differently, the evil eye, right, the green eye of envy, looks toward David, and it's right after that that the devil enters his heart. And then he seeks to murder David. He's not successful, but he's after him. So this is the nature of envy. We see it plague our Lord's ministry. The one who is all good, the Lord God, who is love incarnate, comes among us, and he is plagued by those who have envy toward him. They can't stand Jesus, some of them. Why? Because he's successful, because he's popular, because he has words of truth. They have envy toward him. It plagues him. So we see the evil eye that is after those who even are good, like the good man of the house, who says to the man who's grumbling, "Friend, I do thee no wrong." And there is nothing wrong with the way he's treated the man. He's agreed for the daily wage. They shook hands on it. The man did the work, and he paid the wage. Now, perhaps it doesn't make sense to you still. I had a colleague in ministry who had a parishioner who was a labor attorney. He just never got this parable. It just wasn't fair. But the language, if we start saying in our own hearts, it's not fair, that might be a little flag for us to begin to think, is it just or is it fair? So think about the prodigal son who returns to his father's house, and his father receives him back as one who was lost but now is found, one who was dead but who is alive again, and vests him again with the signs of sonship and brings him back, restores him back to the family. This is something that is just. It is right that we should do this. He tells that to the older brother. It is right we do this because this is your brother. And we thought he was dead, but he's alive again. And they're celebrating his return. This is just. The older brother, he doesn't think it's fair. Remember, he's out on the porch. He won't go in. It's not fair. You never gave me a kid that I might celebrate with my friends. And the father, all that I have is thine. Just like the good man of the house. We agreed for the daily wage. I paid you the daily wage. Is thine eye evil because I am good? Let us in this penitential season examine our own hearts, lest we be poisoned with envy. If you give it a little bit of energy, a little bit of thought, a little bit of time, it'll spring up. It's there waiting. All of us have it in us. We inherit this fallen nature, and the old man dies hard. But we're in a process of sanctification where we learn the new language of the kingdom. Love overcomes envy. Hatred stirs up strifes. Love covers a multitude of sins. What a different idea it would be if these men were loving toward their fellows, their fellow laborers, who had just experienced a boon. Can you imagine how different the language would be if they were loving? What does it mean that somebody who came at 5 o'clock in the evening, works 1 hour and gets $300, what does it mean for that man? It's a great thing. I mean, the guys at the end of the line who were first in the vineyard, they could be saying, "Wow, this landowner is so generous. What a blessing to see this." I mean, who does that? Look, our brothers now, they have plenty. What does it mean that they were paid that day? It means that they can eat. It means their families can eat. It means their children aren't going to bed hungry. What a blessing. They could rejoice with those who rejoice. What a different kind of language. And so when we, feel that dark, smoldering sense of envy, if we start looking to the side and making comparisons like the world teaches us how, and see ourselves not in front, somebody who is, well, they're more attractive than we are. They're richer than we are. They're more successful. They got the job I wanted. They drive the car I thought I'd be driving. They have all these, they seem to have their life together. They have grandkids. They don't have grandkids. They have whatever envy may be speaking in our mind. Pay it no heed. Instead, rejoice with those who rejoice. And our life becomes better. We begin to be more joyful. We celebrate other successes, and all of a sudden we are lifted up. The language of love will show us how to transcend the wickedness of this fallen world. Let us be happy that somebody had a boon. God bless them. God bless God. Father, bless you for blessing them. There is an amazing joy that can come into us if we begin to think in this different way. Love covers the multitude of sins, and we can rejoice with those who rejoice. I'll tell a story to you, modern times, that I think illustrates this in such a good way. And I've told it before. It bears repeating. And maybe you can tell me a better story, or your own story can outdo this one as you live out the truth of love, not envy, because we are now citizens of the kingdom of heaven. My brother, high school teacher, Hopkins High, Minnesota. He's been there 25 years. 1 year, they had a championship football team. And for the coach, it was a roller coaster. They had close games right to the wire. They had games where they were the underdog, but they overcame. It was intense. He was gathering up the cohesion of the team in a way that had never been done in his career. They were on their way to victory. They got to the semifinals, the state semifinals. It was now the championship game. And as he walked into the locker room the morning of the game, who should he see but one of the players on his team who had not yet played a game on the varsity team. And he was putting papers into the lockers of his teammates. And his first thought was one of suspicion. He thought, I can't have them sabotage this. You know, sports, it's all about the mental game, right? You've got to go into it with trusting your teammates, and it's going to be very important to have the mental edge, right? You win there first, heart, mind, and then on the field. And he's concerned. I mean, he's suspicious. Why is he putting paper? I can't have him sabotage my team. And so he yells out, hey! And the kid turns around. Oh, coach, glad to see you. He said, why are you here early? What are you doing? He said, oh, I'll show you. Come on over here. And he had in his arm a sheaf of notes, a sheaf of papers. And he said, here, I'll show you what I did for John. And he showed him a sketch of John playing a great play that year. He said, I noticed him do this in one of the games. And he sketched it out. He wasn't very good on the field, but he was very good with his pencil. And he sketched out that winning play. And he said, I noticed that for all the team. I'm putting that in their locker. At the bottom of the drawing, it said, may you play this way today. Here's someone who had noticed the excellence of his teammates and was rejoicing that they might continue in their victory. And the team did win, state champions. But tell me, who's the champion? How do you find that love that overcomes envy? God will pour it into you. It's already been given. It's now for us to find. The kingdom of heaven is within you. That love can spring up in you, a wellspring unto eternal life. And so may we find that love in us that overcomes envy. May we rejoice with those who rejoice and follow the Lord Jesus joyfully on this earthly pilgrimage into the glories of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.